Hi, this is the show that answers the questions that expats, nomads, and full-time travelers living across the globe ask themselves every day. These insights and secrets are shared when we interview experts and authors from across the globe.
Hi, and welcome, everybody. This is Doreen Cumberford with Nomadic Diaries. We are the podcast that talks about why travel? Not what and who and how, but mostly why travel and all of the tools for transformation that lie inside travel. Today, it's my privilege and honor to be on the other side of the microphone. And my friend Jean-Marie DiGiovanni is here. Thank you for doing this, Jean-Marie.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's so unusual and very nerve-wracking to be asked the questions, but I have prepped Jean-Marie, and she has a list of questions that she seems to have approved, and we'll just go ahead and take it from the top.
Okay, wonderful. So first question, really curious about, is why Nomadic Diaries? Why start a podcast?
Mostly because I don't like writing. That's the short answer. I have written books and I'm about to finish my third one. However, I discovered that I was more natural and feel more authentic when I'm actually verbally answering the questions or asking the questions. So the podcasting medium has called to me for years. And about 5 years ago, I was really called to do this. However, the technology has finally caught up so that AI is my partner now. And so it's much better combination. Podcasting, Doreen, and AI combined can do a much better job than I ever could have before. So that's why now, and that's why podcasting.
Wonderful. And why Nomadic Diaries?
My experience as a coach has been that people do better with stories and personal anecdotes and really the nitty-gritty, easy questions. I believe that there is more opportunity to be nomadic, whether you are globally mobile, in corporate, in the diplomatic sphere, if you're in missions, or if you are just an independent and mobile businesswoman like you are, Jean-Marie. And the opportunity is grander now. And so I wanted something that was expansive in its field, but I wanted the diary part in there because it feels like we share secrets. We share insights in a diary. And my dream for this podcast is not just that people get information, but it also delivers inspiration, which I think moves us a whole lot further.
Yes, wonderful. So who can benefit from listening to Nomadic Diaries?
I think that there's a lot of people in the expatriate lane, and mostly I have been an expat for five decades almost. And I think expats, people who are returnees and are in recovery from the expat lifestyle, also people who are mobile for their business or mobile for choice, so digital nomads or mobile business people, or anyone who is actually feeling stuck and just wants to launch some life and get some life overseas.
In terms of the podcast, what are the main topics or silos that you cover?
Well, first of all, we usually try to ask people about some stories or for some examples, because we do delve into some pretty academic topics sometimes on the subject of interculturalism. And so stories and examples, I think, are critical because that's how we are all energized and how we connect. And when our imagination is fired, then we go further in terms of our understanding and our empathy of the story that's been told. So number one, story. Number two, The guests we have had on so far have been terrific, and we hope to have more terrific guests and like yourself. And those guests give amazing advice based on studies, science, academics, journals, books, and just their deep years of experience. And so I think that there is a lot of just natural, healthy, common sense about travel and the decisions you have to make when you leave home and move overseas. The third part is really teaching people how to set realistic goals, or how to know what the obstacles are that might be in the way, or possibly to talk about the unintended consequences, because we talked about that in your podcast, was, you know, the unintended consequences that none of us are aware of when we leave at first. Mm-hmm. And so the next thing we hope to provide is a community, is to, you know, really eventually build community. We've talked on several of them about how to belong, where to belong, why to belong, and this great longing that we all as humans have to belong. And that's critical. I think that would say that that's one of the main silos. The next part is really, sometimes we will be covering the subject of trends. Like, for instance, after the pandemic, all of a sudden it felt like the gates opened and the gates of travel opened for so many more people, and a different experience of life was possible. And so that has influenced the job market, has influenced economics, sociology, and cultures around the world. Mm-hmm. So we try to keep up with like job markets, tech, AI has just been magical in terms of how it can catapult people into different kinds of results. I studied from the age of 10 or 12. I was a student of international relations and economics and sociology. So that kind of touches on a little bit on all of those subjects. So we will be trying to keep up and let people know what is trending and what is ahead, if we can ever figure that out. I think the next part is mindset. Mindset is huge. It's a big subject. You could spend a year talking about mindset and travel. And I think the last two things are resources. We hope to be able to deliver people some resources, and resources in the form of our guests. Because for all we talk about podcasting, the magical part of podcasting is the people that I get to interview. And for me, it's magical, it's mystical, it's exciting, and it's kind of unbelievable that some of the conversations I have gotten to have. And we really hope that we'll be delivering conversations that our listeners can benefit from, and then possibly reach out to these people for more information or some inspiration to keep them steady on their own personal journey.
Mm.
Yeah. That's a lot, right?
Probably it is.
But longer list.
Well, what I love is it's varied, but it's also valuable. And whether someone's new to travel or they've been traveling for decades, it's still extremely valuable.
Yeah.
So I can attest from knowing you that there's so many stories that you have of all the experiences you've had overseas, in so many different countries. And I've learned a lot of, vocabulary from you as well, and some terms. So I know that you and I have talked about intercultural competence, and you talk a lot about that on your podcast. So can you share a bit about what does that mean and what difference does it make?
Okay. Cultural competencies, they're all invisible, number one. You can't touch them, you can't feel them, you can't move them, because they're all invisible. And so it can tend to be a very heady subject. And one of my goals here is to bring this very heady subject into the land of functional travel. So what does that actually mean if I get myself on a plane and I go to Rwanda? Exactly. What is cultural competency going to do for me there? And why do I need it? So it covers things like your values. It covers our behaviors, how we're behaving in a certain community, our attitudes and our practices, our daily practices. And it applies to systems, it applies to organizations, and it applies to corporations and programs. But all of us, whether we like it or not, we carry our cultures embedded inside us. They help, cultural competencies help define our perspectives. And so it's all sort of invisible and sometimes can be a bit weird, but it's really important. And so that's why I want to be able to bring it to people that are not aware of that terminology and what's the difference between competency and intelligence, because there's cultural competency, cultural intelligence, and then intercultural communication. I am not deeply in the weeds in this at all. I believe that I am absolutely a student, but I have been studying it for the last 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that we all, the planet in general, could really benefit from to help us get along and understand in all the ways that we're different, how we can still function together as humans.
Yeah, so important. Thank you for that. So you were an expat spouse.
I was.
How can expat spouses utilize their experience as a springboard?
Well, I started off as an expat, as a diplomat, in my own right, as a single woman. So becoming an expat spouse and following my husband to Saudi Arabia now in some ways seems very like backwards, like I lived my life in reverse. However, there was much to be gained from that. And expat spouses are very, very dear to my heart because I was living in California. I had a baby and I had a brand new design business that was just taking off. You know, when you have a baby that takes steps, well, you have businesses and we take steps. And at some point, the business can walk and run on its own right. And I love my business. I love my design business, my decorating business, but I had lived overseas before. And so I felt like, well, I'm adaptable, I'm flexible enough, I can do this. And it was one of the most difficult things I ever did. And I believe that there are male and female expats around the world who are somewhat traumatized by their decision to follow the spouse, even although the decision might be based on sound economics and logic and, you know, spirituality and just really centered thinking, it still can be very traumatic and difficult to find your way. And there's more information out there. I'm actually going to be interviewing a woman called Yvonne Cash, and she has a book called Yours, Mine, or Ours. And it's on the subject of dual careers when you have what we used to be called was trailing spouses or, you know, drag-alongs. And so there's, I think it would be really fun to cover that part of the journey in hindsight. And I really have a deep sense and wrote about that a lot in Life in the Camel Lane, in how to live in that container of accompanying someone else and being their champion and actually putting some of your own dreams aside.
Yeah, wonderful. Wow, that's very powerful. Thank you. There's another term that you've shared around global competency. And so what are some of the ways the general public can benefit from global competency?
Well, that's a great question. Thank you. You know, one of the things that we're having happen in the US and other countries right now is we've all of a sudden adopted this terminology, culture wars. Culture wars is sort of an activating factor for some now. And I think that we need to kind of slow our worlds down a little bit. to understand each other's perspective. And we have a huge political culture discrepancy in the U.S. right now. It doesn't feel like our country is all going the same directions. And that's true in many parts of the world. And I believe it's been accelerated quite a bit by technology. But having said that, we can all be better at things like listening. We can all be better at things like asking each other better questions. We can all get better at being adaptable and flexible and going with the flow, even if we don't like the flow. Sometimes there's wisdom in going with a flow. Even if there are stumbling blocks or if there are some huge obstacles in our thinking, I think that it just challenges us to ask better questions and to think more deeply. And therefore, those are all versions of competencies that no matter where you are, what country you're in, wherever you are, if you're sitting in the Masai Mara and you're watching the warriors jump, or you are out chasing crocodiles in Australia, or you have sold up all your belongings and you are getting on a cruise to cruise the oceans, we can all do better at getting along with one another. And cultural competency is a huge benefit, and lots of skills come under that umbrella.
Wow, our world would be very different when that competency is increased, for sure. So thank you. Do you cover specific countries, and what about local information for San Miguel?
Well, actually, I'm glad you asked that question, because we're going to have an entire episode, several episodes, like a season designed around San Miguel. San Miguel is just a magical place. And there are, of course, hundreds and thousands of magical cities, but that just happens to be the one where this podcast is recorded. And so we will be doing a season on San Miguel, talking about people who have come here and what they've created after they've got here, or what they have found here, or what they have designed in the process of arriving here and build. Like, this podcast was not even an idea in my mind. It was a desire, but I didn't really have all the pieces in place until I arrived in San Miguel to build it, including my former co-host, Sharon Fields, who was an amazing benefactor in launching this endeavor. And I have to give her credit for that.
And then what about specific countries, or is it really across the board that you cover?
I believe that the experience of packing up and moving overseas is pretty universal from place to place. Of course, the experience is always different because every single human is an unrepeatable miracle, and no two of us are alike. And we're all going to have different challenges and different problems. However, there are universal principles. There are universal laws that apply. There are visas and logistics in every move. There are the actual act of packing oneself up. And I believe that there are two ways we pack up. We pack up our physical belongings, put them in containers or a suitcase, and ship them, depending on your scale. But secondly, we also pack up our mindset and our six mental faculties, and we take those with us wherever we go. And so that's where that comes into play. So we will be talking to people who have been all over the world, to all different countries. But I don't think we're going to be specially focused in any one country. We're going to be focused on the why of travel, the process of launching, leaving, living, loving, and then returning.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So there's another term I've learned from you called third culture kids.
Oh, yeah.
And I know it's one of your focuses. So what is it, and why is this important to you?
Well, third culture kids are kids who essentially grow up in a different culture from the cultures their parents grew up in. So, for example, next week I am going to interview someone who at 3 years old left the United States and grew up overseas, is now in his 40s, and the prospect of moving back to the US is rather daunting because it's no longer his home country. So third culture kids are very important to me personally. My mother-in-law was one way back when. My husband grew up in Japan partially, and his family moved around in the military. My daughter was, we interviewed with Saudi Aramco to go to Saudi when she was 21 days old. So she was a third culture kid. And what we're finding now is that a lot of these third culture kids have more adverse childhood experiences than kids that are rooted and planted in one place, because they've had so many losses and so much maybe trauma or possibly dysfunction as a result of all the moves. So that's something that we will be talking about. And in fact, we recently interviewed Rachel Kaysen, who is a fabulous therapist with only third culture kids. And she says she even has therapy with people my age and older who are at that point working on their TCK-ness. Mm. So this is something that we carry around for the rest of our lives. I think that that there's so much new information out there. And I think that it's good for families when they are considering launching to know what they're kind of getting themselves into.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You talk a lot about building heart-to-heart connections that mm-hmm. go beyond borders and barriers. Mm-hmm. What are some of the benefits of that?
You know, they say that jobs fill your pocket, but adventures fill your mm-hmm. soul. So I think that's sort of a cellular thing that happens for people. I believe that if we practice our six mental faculties, including our intuition and our perspectives and our memories and using our imagination with other cultures, people from other cultures, that we can build a healthier version of cross-cultural communication. And I call it global-heartedness because it's heart-to-heart communication with others, I think, is the way forward on a one-to-one basis in your local community, in your family, and then in your community, and then in your geographical location, and then it goes out from there so that you can have a ripple effect. There are more and more people talking about this in all different versions and layers across the globe. So it's just really it's really heartwarming to me to be part of that global heartedness. Mm. And that's what I love to call it. And I see more and more of it emerging because there's more and more people who are traveling and want to do it with a sense of ease and fun and grace and love.
Mm. Yes. Great. So my last question is this. What is your intention for Nomadic Diaries, and what do you hope for in 2024?
Well, life is either a daring adventure or nothing at all, right? For 2024, I think that we will start to develop more competency, hopefully, with the podcast, so that it will attract the listener who really wants to have more joy, more fun, and articulate more of their dreams by traveling or with traveling. We will be offering several seasons. I mentioned the one on San Miguel. We'll probably do one similar to your subject, which is about being a mobile business person. How do you pack up your business and move? And we will also probably do one on repatriation towards the end of the year, because that is the dirty little secret or the underbelly, as it were, of the expatriation experience. Whether you're long-term, very long-term, or you know, short term, like a year, it can make a difference. We'll probably do, I have a book coming out at the end of the year called Sequel, and it's basically how to recover after you move home, because I believe that is a recovery process. So that's an idea of what we have ahead. I hope I get better as an interviewer. I hope that people have fun and just sit down at their kitchen table and have a good laugh with us sometimes. I really hope that people will benefit and actually move into some action and ask different questions and maybe be better informed, more prepared, and inspired at the same time to make some really brave moves.
Great. Well, I, for one, love your energy and loved being interviewed by you. So I think you have great interviewing skills. And I love that you are so curious about life and about travel and meeting people. And that's what makes you a great podcast interviewer. So thank you so much for sharing your insights here, and I will turn it over to you.
Well, thanks, Jean Marie, for being on the other side of the microphone. I really appreciate your time and your expertise and your calm presence for all these questions. And most of all, listeners, we're here for you. The purpose of Nomadic Diaries is to support you to provide some good information and inspiration on your journey. And we know that whatever your dream is, we are here to support that dream via the why of travel. Find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and all the other podcasting places. And please listen and share. And we do really love getting reviews. Thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Jean Marie, again. And it's either sayonara, masalama, or hasta luego.